Is he my prince? Is he the toad? Waiting, wondering, is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, slide up my skirt. Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, welcome to Shame Free Zone. This is your host, Veronica Monet. I am calling this in from Hillsboro, Oregon. I'm on tour right now. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I head out to Seattle. I'll be teaching some workshops up there on Wednesday night. I'm going to be teaching a workshop called The Divine Feminine. And then you'll find me over on the 16th teaching something called The Compassionate Connection. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and the tour's going on almost to the end of the month. After Seattle, I head back down to Napa, and I'll be at Sonoma State University giving a lecture there. If you are a subscriber to my newsletter, The Wealthy Woodpecker, then you already know that. And if you're not, then you should just go over to Facebook and click subscribe. So tonight, in the Shame-Free Zone, we actually have the author of Shameless. And the full title of this book is actually pretty interesting. It's called Shameless, How I Ditched the Diet, Got Naked, Found True Pleasure, and Somehow Got Home in Time to Cook Dinner. It's a brand new book. It just came out January 18th of this year. And the author is Pamela Manson, very interesting woman. And I've actually turned to chapter 17, called Here Is He and Mrs. Robinson. But Pamela, welcome to the Shame-Free Zone. I understand you got a little bit of a throat condition going on there, but we're going to move.
Well, you know, this is what happens to shameless women after they've been on tour. Okay, so this is it. But I'm trying to be very sexy as I sound like a frog.
You're so funny. Now, before we actually went live, Pamela said she sounded like Betty Davis after two packs of cigarettes, and I have to say I agree with her.
And I love that you went right to chapter 17.
Oh, you know what I did? I took a deep breath and just let the book fall open, and there it was.
Oh,
and I
God. Realized,
are you kidding me? That's the first page I go to, and it's about getting an uncomplicated erotic massage. What are you doing, Pamela?
Right. Well, the first thing is that there is no such thing as an uncomplicated erotic massage.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, we're all disappointed to hear that.
But I try. I do what I can.
Well, is it just that it's not available for women? I mean, can men get an uncomplicated erotic massage, but women can't? I mean, what's the deal?
That's a very good question. I think, first of all, women having any kind of paid services when it comes to sex is just verboten. You know, women don't pay. Why would a woman pay? And the fact is that women pay for the same reasons that men pay. Okay? And I wasn't looking to have an affair. I was, and still am, I'm a married woman. And my husband and I are celebrating 30 years of marriage. I met him when I was 20. I met him when I was 17. I married him when I was 20. And in my early 40s, in what I call the shift before the shift, all of my girlfriends started to have affairs. And they were, you read about all this in the book, it's very funny, you know, and I was like the last vestal virgin of Great Neck Long Island, you know, it was just me. And you know, the fact was, is that there was a part of me that didn't want to die without ever feeling another man's hands on my body.
Oh,
I knew that there was something up, but I didn't know what it was. And I knew it wasn't my husband. I knew it wasn't about our marriage. I knew it wasn't about not loving him. It had to do with me.
And you have a moment with this guy. This guy's he's gay, and he's a massage therapist who does erotic massage for men mostly. And he's not been with a woman client, or he was kind of thinking about expanding his practice to female clients when you call.
Mm-hmm.
And you say you like that he's been waiting for you. And then he asks you, does your husband know what you're doing? And your answer is, not yet.
Right.
So I'm wondering, did you end up telling your husband after you had this little rendezvous with David?
Yes. You know, you skipped around. There's a whole bunch of stuff that happens before my Mrs. Robinson experience with this young gay massage therapist. And it does build to the point where I feel like I need to come clean with my husband.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying because I didn't feel like I was cheating because I wasn't having traditional sex. We are talking hands here, okay? Just hands.
In fact, if I may, I want to tell you, I just want to read for our listeners a beautiful passage from chapter 17 here, I guess it is. It was incredible to me that this young gay man was devouring me with his hands, loving my imperfectly perfect body. I didn't feel overweight or over 40. I felt beautiful and radiant.
Amen, sister.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, really, my book is not about leaving. I mean, that's what the title is, right? I got home in time to cook dinner, right?
Yeah.
You know, my book is not about how to cheat on your man in 3 easy steps. My book is about how do you, as a woman and a man, because, you know, I'm a sex coach. And I became a sex coach later after this whole experience. And sometimes I get men who call me up and say, I'm shameless too. I want to go in the shameless journey too. So it's not just women. It's not just women who feel this way. It's also men. And, you know, I wanted not to cheat on my husband. I didn't want to leave. But I needed something more. And I was able to find it with hands-on practitioners. I mean, it was more than than erotic massage. It was working with what's known as sexological body workers.
Right.
And sacred intimates. And sexological body work, as you may know, Veronica, is a certified profession in California.
Yes, I actually know the founder, the originator of that, Joseph Kramer, is a good friend of mine. I was sitting next to him when he devised the whole plan to get the state of California to give people a degree in sexological body work. It was amazing to me. I told him, oh, Joseph, you're going to go to jail. And he says, no, I'm not. And sure enough, he didn't. I got the state of California to approve it. So now there's men and women who go to college to handle penises and vaginas as part of their curriculum.
Absolutely. And you know what? God bless them.
Well, no.
God bless them.
Very, very
you
important.
Know, having somebody offer you pleasure just for you, where you don't give back, where you just learn how to receive, can really be life transformational. You know, I lost 7 dress sizes. How's that for a diet? Because I was feeding myself what I needed, which was not another bag of chips. It was touch. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Wow. So that's how you ditched the diet.
That's how I did. You got it.
Ditched the diet. Got naked.
Naked. Mm-hmm.
Found true pleasure.
Exactly.
But you know what? I'm thinking about now, there's a whole bunch of frustrated housewives or businesswomen, but they just happen to be married. It doesn't really matter what they do for a living, but, you know, they happen to be married and maybe sexually frustrated. Maybe, you know, the sex is not really working out for them. Certainly, a lot of the surveys out there indicate that women are not getting their sexual needs met. A large percentage of women are not experiencing orgasms during sex. But I'm sure that one of the things that holds them back is the idea that they are going to lose the happy home that they love and the security that they love and the husband that they love. So what is the story for you? How is it that you make it home in time to cook dinner?
Planning, lots of planning. A good clock pot. You know.
Okay.
You know, I had a very big job. You know, I was an executive director. I had founded a national fertility organization. I was a mother of 2 and married. And you know what? I needed something that was just for me. And, you know, when I finally, I don't want to ruin the story for people who actually might want to read the book.
Right on.
What I can tell you is that was 7 years ago. The slice of life that I share in Shameless happened 7 years ago. And August 16th is my 30th wedding anniversary.
Well, congratulations.
You know, so yeah. I feel that doing what I did saved my marriage. And
yeah,
I think that we need to have a different, you know, we're really rough on people. We're really, in what we consider infidelity, and what we consider cheating. We have a very narrow definition of what that is. And I really think that for the sake of the stability of families, we need to rethink our definition of monogamy.
Yes, right. Because, I mean, you're still very much committed. It sounds like you're actually very in love. Would you term your marriage that way?
Yeah. And let me tell you, this guy's got to really love me. I'm talking myself hoarse, going around the country, you know, speaking to men and women about this. In fact, I'm going to be in San Francisco Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock, at Project Orgasm. Can you imagine? Project Orgasm, which is being run by One Taste at this pop-up store on Sutter Street at 7 o'clock.
Oh my God.
And yeah,
I just had the founder, Nicole Dayton, was on the Shame Free Zone just about 4 weeks ago.
Well, I will be with Nicole Wednesday night in San Francisco, and we're going to be talking all about this in person. But, you know, we need to expand all things. You're doing this thing on the divine feminine. We need to expand what the feminine model is of sexuality. because we're working on a male model here, and it just doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit our bodies. This is what I'm seeing a lot with my female clients. I am a sexologist, and I work with men and women and couples, but a lot of the female clients that I work with are just, they're so trying to do the porn star thing. They're trying to do the thing they see in a porno, which, of course, has nothing to do with female anatomy or female sexual response. And then, because their bodies don't respond, they feel like failures. They feel like there's something wrong with me. I can't do it like the pornos. So I end up telling them, I want you to go buy a Comstock film, because Comstock is a company that actually films real porn stars having real sex with their own husbands and wives. And of course, the real sex that porn stars have doesn't look anything like the performance they do for the pornos. So it's like,
Women are, I think anyway, that women are receivers. And the problem is that women never learned how to receive. And what I was able to do on the massage table with these hands-on practitioners was to learn how to receive. And that's how I truly opened to my feminine, was not by making love with another person, but by being able to learn how to truly receive in my feminine and open to pleasure. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, sure, of course. I tend to think that there's a little bit of the yin and the yang for all of us, but
yes, absolutely.
A lot of the distinctions I try to draw are basically like G-spot for G-spot, you know, because males have a G-spot too. Mm-hmm. And too many times people are trying to treat a woman's G-spot and her vulva like it's a penis. I mean, and, you know, that might work for the clitoris, but it's definitely not going to work when you're trying to do penetration. Penetration is such a totally different space, totally different energetic space, different head space, different heart space. And it pains me that women are, they try to hurry up and get lubricated in time to be able to accept the penetration and then wonder why an orgasm never comes. It's just, it's tragic in a lot of ways. And it's like, they don't even, you know, everybody's looking for the G-spot like it was the button to a microwave or something.
Exactly.
This is a...
You know, for me, it was really not even about the orgasm the way so many people see the orgasm, right, as this climax. But it was about learning how to roll with pleasure and learning how to access erotic trance, which I was only able to do, you know, initially with one-way touch. Because, you know, usually when you're making love, you know, your mind's going a mile a minute, right? Yeah. And you're like, you know, am I getting wet fast enough? Is it good enough? You know, maybe I should give him a blowjob now. You know, am I taking too long to have this climax? You know, gee, should I get on all fours? What should I do? Maybe I should get on top. We're very busy. We're very active when we're making love. So it's very hard to access different types of erotic states that are incredibly powerful and healing. And by working with a professional and having one-way touch, I was able to access these incredible altered states of being that really transformed who I was as a woman.
So,
and,
Campbell,
you know, it's good. Yes, Veronica.
Well, so I'm just really keeping an eye out for the listeners here and how we can translate this for them, because I would imagine that you want other women to be able to transform their lives in this really positive way, too.
And I've basically dedicated my life to it now.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, so what kind of words of wisdom do you have? First of all, let's go back to all the women that are out there in relationships. They don't want to lose the relationship. Can you give them some concrete tips for how you would suggest they navigate this. If they want to have a hands-on erotic massage or see somebody from their body electric or try a Daca or a Dakini, what would you recommend to them in order to preserve what they have at home and not lose that? Should they lie about it? Should they tell their husband ahead of time? Should they tell their husband afterwards? What words of wisdom do you have for
Well, there's a few words of wisdom. One, don't go looking on Craigslist for a hands-on healer, please. Okay. All right. Number one, don't.
Yeah.
Obviously, they can read Shameless and learn about my voyage, and hopefully that will provide them with some insight and giggles. Check out the Sexological Bodywork website. They can Google Sexological Bodywork. There's an organization. Maybe there'll be somebody in their neighborhood. Work with a professional like you, Veronica, or someone like me. I basically coach women through the process, so they're not alone. I wish I had me when I was going through this, or someone like you, but I didn't. I was very lucky. I could have gotten hurt, but I just fell into the right hands.
You're a trailblazer. Now, what about women who are abused? The practitioner, were all the practitioners that you saw, were they all gay?
No, they weren't all gay. They were mostly gay.
Mostly gay.
They were mostly gay. Some were completely gay. Some were bisexual. And there were a few straight ones, yes. But
okay.
About the husband. Know your man. You know, I felt pretty awful. When I kept a secret, I kept it out of fear. My husband ended up being very accepting, but you have to know who your husband is. And, you know, perhaps taking them with you to do a workshop, you know, let them read Shameless, let them go on the websites and read about sexological bodywork or sacred intimacy. You can bring your husband in if he wants to come in.
Oh.
And if you feel like you can't imagine ever telling your husband, but that you're going to die and shrivel up if you don't find something, then I become like the old-time army people, and I say, don't ask, don't tell.
Oh, there you go. And isn't it wonderful that you could say old time?
It's beautiful that I can say old time. You know, it's not the ideal. You know, it's so much better now that I can say to my husband, I'm going to San Francisco, and I'm going to have a session with Brian when I'm there.
Oh,
you know, that's so wonderful. There's no sneaking around.
Now, Pamela, I have this other question for you. Do you think that there's a lot of women who are seeking these kind of services? Or are you one of a minority? Are you a trailblazer? Are you starting a new trend for women?
Oh, well, you know, I've been called a trailblazer. But I met women on the journey when I was on the journey. So there were women already there. I just had the kahunas to write a book about it.
Okay.
Because I felt that this needed to be mainstream. Right. I'm a mainstream woman. I'm a minivan girl. You know, I'm not this really cool, hip woman. I'm cute. But, you know, I'm not San Francisco cool. I'm a regular gal. You know,
Where are you from?
I'm from Long Island. I live right now in Riverdale in the Bronx in New York.
Journey when you were 43. Was that 7 years ago?
Yes, I am 50.
So you're 50. Well, honey, I'm 51, so I'm a year older than you.
Yes.
And you've been married for almost 30 years, and how many kids do you have?
Two. 18 and 22.
18 and 22. Do your children know that you see sexological body workers?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
You go, girlfriend.
My mother knows. My mother knows. Look, the world knows. I wrote a book.
Yes.
You know, but they knew before. Because I don't think that there should be any shame around this. You know, you see yoga teachers, right? You see nutritionists, you see doctors, you see therapists. Sex is one of the biggest parts of our life. Why wouldn't you see a professional around sexuality if you need help in that area? Why is that forbidden? I don't get it.
Yeah, well, and I think this is just wonderful for women to think about showing up for their own pleasure and actually really starting to value that, valuing their pleasure and you know, because I think this is the only way that women are going to become orgasmic or, you know, really fully embodied. And to me, sex impinges on so many aspects of life, our creativity, our productivity, our prosperity, our peace of mind, our stress reduction, our ability.
Our self-image.
Yes, our self-image, too.
Our self-image, because, you know, I didn't lose 50 pounds before I had my first erotic massage.
Mm.
I was a very overweight girl, very pretty, but very chubby.
Right.
And
right.
I had to learn that my very imperfect body was worthy of pleasure and could give me pleasure, you know, in a plus size. And once I allowed my body...
That's the name of your next book, Pamela. That is the name of your next book, Pleasure in a Plus Size.
There you go. But I think it's really important for women to know that they don't have to look a certain way. You know, they don't have to feel as if they have somehow earned this. You know, this is truly a right.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be rich to be able to afford these services. If you can afford to go have a basic massage at a spa, you can really afford to see a hands-on practitioner. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think your message is very, very important. I've actually started prescribing your book to my clients.
Well, thank you, Veronica.
Oh, my God. You need to go read this book.
Thank you. You know, and they'll have a good belly laugh, too. Because,
Frank Huber, I want to ask you a question. What was
sure.
it like to make a gay man hard?
It's a really great self-image booster, let me tell you. it actually was, I don't know who was more surprised, him or me.
Can I just read that one sentence from chapter 16?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
He goes, "Look, I have an erection," David announced. I can't believe how exciting this is. Your body was meant for this. You must have been a high priestess in another life.
Now, what woman doesn't want to hear that?
I know, kidding, huh?
Right? And it was so sweet. You know, he was younger than me. I think that chapter is called something like Mrs. Robinson, right?
It is. It's here's you, Mrs. Robinson.
There you go. Yes, that was my Mrs. Robinson moment. you know, I walked in and I was shocked because he looked much younger than his picture.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was legal, thank God. You know, but he was probably, you know, 15 years younger than me.
Wow.
What's you know, very, very.
I've dated men that young. That was younger than me.
And he was very, very cute and very, very sweet. And very fascinated. Well, what's interesting sometimes about when you do this work with professionals is they're also healing their own issues.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got to heal some of his issues with women.
Oh.
And that was very, very cool. It's not like he turned straight, okay?
Yeah,
I don't mean that. You know, I don't think that we should start taking me out to, you know, the gay rehab camps that the, you know, right-wing Christian Republicans want to start. I don't think giving Pamela Mann to the massage is going to, you know, turn gay men straight. That's a joke. Everyone should be laughing. Okay. So, it was very sweet that this young gay man was able to see that he could have erotic energy with a woman.
And
I think that all of us really, whether we're gay or straight, or transgender, when we let our guard down, we can really all have erotic energy, I think, with each other. We just have to stop being so frightened of it.
Well, you know, you mentioned one taste, and I can remember an incident there when I was actually observing a workshop at One Taste, and there were probably 100 people out on the floor doing various breathing and sexual exercises with each other, and most of them were partnered up, but there was still a lot of people in the room, and
Right. They're
all basically channeling that sexual energy. And I was just sitting on the sidelines observing. I wasn't engaging in any of the exercises at all. But because all that sexual energy was being channeled in the room, I was cuddled up to a young man. God forgive me, I can't even remember who he was, but some young cutie had his arm around me, and he barely brushed his finger against my ankle. And I thought I was going to have an orgasm right then and there. Just a little teeny accidental brush against my ankle.
Right.
And one of the things, I when you have a group of people channeling that kind of energy, it's incredibly powerful, and it's also contagious. And you
yes,
think about if this planet was raising that kind of energy, if we were all very sexually attuned, you've got to wonder, would we be as violent as we are?
Right.
You know, I think the world would be a better place.
You know, I agree. You know, it's really about having a new perspective on, again, on sexuality.
It is.
And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have boundaries. You know, the fact of the matter is I'm a very boundaried woman. I have lots of boundaries. And that may sound funny, but I do.
No, but I sound perfectly acceptable to me, because without the boundaries, you don't have any safety. And if you don't have any safety, you really can't let go.
Exactly. And that's really what we need to teach people, is to be safe in their boundaries. And once they can be safe in their boundaries and hold to them, they can have the most incredible experiences, because then they can really touch surrender.
So, Pamela, let's talk about what were the benefits to your 30-year marriage. Can you give us some specifics?
Like, sure.
Did your sex life?
Well, first of all, it still exists. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's huge today. Yeah, that you can be married at 20 and still be married at 50.
Yeah.
And if that's not a testament to what, you know, what this did for my marriage, nothing else is. I am a lot less bitchy, Veronica. Okay? You know, it used to be that I would ask my husband to bring home a loaf of bread and a dozen eggs and some milk, and he'd bring them home. And I'd look at the bread, and I would say, who eats this bread in this house? Nobody eats this brand of bread. Don't you know the kind of bread I buy? You know, I would harangue him. Hmm. Because, frankly, I was pissed off. I was angry. Who knows what for? I think because I know now that, you know, I wasn't allowed to express myself truly who I was erotically. I didn't know that then. Mm-hmm. And so I was an angry woman.
Yeah.
So I, you know, we would have those kitchen sink arguments. Once I started to do this, those arguments stopped. Who gave a damn if he brought home Wonder Bread? I didn't care. Really? You know, who cared if he didn't take the garbage out? You know, once you stop being angry, you know, that free-floating anger, the house becomes a family place. And I also made peace with my body. Mm-hmm. And we started to make love without the covers on. The man got a much freer woman than he started out with.
Wow.
Those aren't bad benefits.
Oh, these are great things. And so I guess he appreciates the fact that you see hands-on practitioners occasionally. And sees the benefit to the marriage, or does he get jealous ever?
When he first found out, I think he felt inadequate in the very beginning. But then, you know, people could read in the book, there were some adventures that included him. And he got to see what it was and what it wasn't. And that's really important, you know, what is something and what isn't something, right?
Yeah. Right.
And he got to see that it wasn't an affair, that these men weren't interested in making love to me in the traditional sense. They were interested in bringing me pleasure, but they weren't interested in making me their girlfriend, right?
Right.
And when people have asked my husband, if your, you know, neighbor asked you, you know, should they let their wife do this?
Yeah.
His answer is always yes.
Mm.
His answer is always yes. We have a happier home.
Wow.
And, you know, and I just think that, again, what is really loving somebody?
Yeah.
Is loving someone being so jealous and so frightened of anything they might do that you clamp down and you suffocate each other?
Yeah.
Or is true love allowing there to be oxygen? And when there's an oxygen in the room, that's when there can be a flame, right?
Right. Right. So
don't I sound so philosophical?
Is there a difference now? Did you ever or do you ever see practitioners who are not just working with their hands, but also having sexual intercourse? Do you ever go there, or is it just physical pleasure?
I know practitioners who do go there. You know, yes, I do. Of course, I do.
Right.
It's not what I do for me.
Okay. And
it's not what I do for me.
So you coach other women. Do you ever have women saying, I'm thinking about going down to the Shady Lady in Nevada because they have a couple of male prostitutes there that specialize in seeing women? You know, do you ever talk to women who are thinking about going to see male prostitutes who are actually going to have, you know, sexual intercourse with them? And what do you tell them? And do you advise that they do it or don't do it? Or?
Well, you know, it really depends on who these women are and what they need in their life. And, you know, usually we start with the woman and who she is as a sexual being. we start with her.
Uh-huh.
And then we move towards practitioners, and that's what they want. You know, and you know, there are women who haven't been with a man in 15 years and who are not married and who really do need that kind of, for lack of another word, full service type of escort. And there are men who do that work really beautifully and who land those women back on their feet nice and surely without placing hooks into their hearts. Because you have to be careful, because there are men who will place hooks in women's hearts to manipulate them for money. And so women need to be very careful about who they see. I don't really encourage women to do anything more than one-way touch, because, you know, our pussies are connected to our hearts, for a lot of women anyway.
You're right.
And once we start having intercourse with somebody, you know, it can form very strong emotional attachments. And this can be very difficult to manage. And there's a lot of pleasure that can happen with hands. And toys.
Yes.
Right. And I explored BDSM in this world. And I saw some pro-doms. And so I had lots of different experiences that really opened me up. Oh, honey, you have to keep reading the book. You just keep reading.
And I haven't read. I have not read about the BDSM. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that? Because that might, first of all, you know, some people might wonder what is. Let's distinguish that, because I think that's a really important thing we haven't really done
okay.
here yet.
Well, what I talk about,
sexological body work, you and I know what that means, but the listeners probably don't, so we need to explain to them, like, sexological body work, what's that like, what's the focus, and then would you go see a pro-dom, would that be a man or a woman, and what would they do to you?
Well, sexological body work, as we said, is a certified profession in the state of California, where people go to school, and there are ethics and, you know, professional ethics. The professional keeps their clothes on. It's one-way touch. And the focus is on the client, not on the client interacting with the professional. So is that pretty clear?
Yeah, it is. And I think the other thing that's really important and I'd like the listeners to know is that sexological body work often works on releasing emotional blockages through the genitals. So some of the training is actually in about how to get people to release old trauma and move beyond that and move into the pleasure. So if you are perhaps a rape survivor or an incest survivor, sexological body work might be a really powerful way to reclaim your body, reclaim your sexual response, and really become more fully embodied.
And if you're just a woman or a man, it'd be good for you too.
Yeah.
You know, so
for people who just want to have fun, you betcha.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So while I was working with a sacred intimate who then became a sexological body worker, and you meet him near the beginning of the book, The Tantric Tiger, he would probe me about my fantasies. And it was very difficult for me to really get in touch with what really turned me on. And he helped me identify some of my desires. One was to experience spanking, sexual spanking. And, you know, the readers, if they pick up Shameless, will get to read about the telling of that and my experience with that. And later on in my journey, towards the end of the book, I go to San Francisco. And my practitioner, the Tantric Tiger, thought I should visit a pro-dom. And he arranged a session for me. He took me to the session. You know, for me, safety was always about safety. I never saw anybody that nobody knew. I always had people there for me. And here was one practitioner literally taking his client to another practitioner, to the door, and dropping me off and picking me up. So I felt very safe.
Wow.
And I met the man that I called the Dark Knight.
Okay.
And the Dark Knight is a pro-dom in San Francisco. And yes, he's a man.
Oh, okay. And what did the Dark Knight do to you, Pamela?
You're going to have to read the book. It is one of the more fabulous chapters. But, you know, the truth is that I hate the term BDSM, really. I prefer the term power surrender. Power, surrender, and intimacy. Because that's really what I experienced, is an exchange of power and a kind of intimacy between two human beings that was really quite extraordinary to me.
I have experienced that on the other side, actually. There's actually an opportunity for quite a bit of a spiritual connection around BDSM that a lot of people...
Huge.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, very, very big. I think there's a lot of misconceptions around S&M or BDSM, which is why I don't even like using the language.
Because it
just brings up these images. And it was nothing like the experiences that I had, which were incredibly loving. And again, you know, allowed me to truly give it up and to really deeply receive and surrender. And, you know, these are really secret fantasies of so many people, men and women. You know, Cosmo did a study recently that was on the Today Show. It said 80% of all people want to be tied up, but are too
80%.
Embarrassed. 80%.
Wow.
But are too they're too embarrassed. That shame word, Veronica, they have too much shame to ask for it. So they never have these experiences. You know, I did this great radio interview with AARP Radio, believe it or not.
The
interviewer said to me, you know, Pamela, some of the things that you write about in your book, they're a little kinky. And I said to this guy, who is a lovely man, I said, honey, it's only kinky the first time. You know? And that's really the truth. You know, all you have to do is go into any sex shop. So many of them are run by women. They're in very plush areas of town where the vibrators are laid out the way cashmere sweaters are laid out at Barney's.
Mm-hmm.
And look around, and you will see every, quote, fetish or kinky sex idea in the book in these shops. And that should tell you something. The message really is that none of this stuff that you see or that you may be dreaming about, such as spanking or being tied up, you know, or having anal sex or whatever it may be, it's really normal. Almost everybody wants what you want. And if they don't want it, the other person does. You know, it's about safe, sane, and consensual. And if you can, you know, have those things in line, that what you're doing is safe, it's sane, you're not hurting anybody, then really, folks, it's okay.
Yeah. Hey, Pamela, you were on Oprah's show. What'd you think of your book?
Oh, I wasn't on Oprah for my book.
Oh, you weren't. Oh, you were.
No,
I was American Facility Association. Huh?
Yes. I was on Oprah, talking about the biological clock.
Ah, okay. Well, I hope you make it to Oprah to talk about being sexological body workers. That'd be a really fascinating show.
I hope so too.
You'd have to go on her network now. I think she's got actually quit.
Right. I'll have to go on OWN.
Yeah, go on the OWN. So we're running out of time here, and I want to make sure the listeners know how to find your book. First of all, I want to read a blurb for your book. Yeah, I actually got a blurb from Christiane Northrup, who's an Oprah favorite. She's an MD and author of Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom. She says, "Shameless is enthralling, hilarious, and incredibly courageous, a most heady and sexy combination. Pamela Manson is the living, breathing embodiment of the power of pleasure to transform one's life." Good for you. I'd love to get a Northrup blurb for a book.
She's been incredibly supportive of my story. And your listeners can find me lots of ways. They can friend me on Facebook. I am a Facebook slut. So they can friend me on Facebook, Pamela Madsen, and it's Madsen. Don't friend the opera singer. She gets very upset. It's Pamela Madsen, the shameless woman. Okay, leave the poor musician alone.
Okay.
And you can follow me at Twitter, at Pamela Madsen, and of course my book, Shameless. You can find it on Amazon or any of the independent bookstores, Barnes & Nobles. If they're in San Francisco, they can come see me on Wednesday nights. Just go to One Taste website and look up where the pop-up store is on Sutter Street at 7 p.m., and I'll be happy to sign a book for them.
Awesome.
So you could have a lot of Pam if you want to.
Okay. All right, Pamela, thank you so much. Congratulations on your book. And just, you know, thank you for, I really just think you are a pioneer for sexuality for women in particular. I just thank you so much.
Oh, honey, I stand on your shoulders. So thank you. And thank you to your listeners for listening to me croak away. I do sound better than this normally.
You were funny and you were adorable, so no harm done.
Thank you so much. And I hope that I meet all of your listeners on Facebook. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
So much.
Okay, bye-bye.
That if you can are still interested in my tour here and can't find information about it, feel free to call me. I can always email you the dates. As far as there are various different venues over the next 2 or 3 weeks, actually. That toll-free number is 888-903-0050. That's 888-903-0050. And you can also find me on Facebook, Veronica Monet, M-O-N-E-T. I have about 5,000 friends almost, so good luck friending me. But if I can squeeze you in, I will. And if you happen to be in the Seattle area, that's where I'm headed next, and I'm taking sessions as I travel. So if you're looking for any kind of anger management training or help in your relationship, give me a buzz. Okay, thanks. See you next week. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me. Sering kesepian.